We are delighted that you're here this morning. If you're visiting, we want to extend a special welcome to you and just say thanks for coming out to be with us this morning. My name is Larry Sewell. I'm one of the elders up at Lighthouse, and I'll be with you for about 35 minutes this morning. We've been in this study about the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about this is the sixth week of that study, as we're looking kind of chronologically through the Bible, what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. 6 weeks ago, we started in Genesis, and we talked about God, the Holy Spirit, who was with God the Father and God the Son in the very beginning, the triune God. It defies an example or description other than just to state the case that God is triune God, three distinct persons, yet one God, the Christian God. We know that God spoke the world into existence. There's a Hebrew word, I can't really say it because I don't speak Hebrew, but it's ruach, okay? It's the Hebrew word for breath or spirit or wind. And it's like the Greek word pneumos, right? Where God, the Holy Spirit, can also be translated wind or breath. And so when we're talking about God speaking the word of the world into existence, we're talking about the triune God acting in creation. The Holy Spirit brings us physical life, but he also brings us spiritual life. We talked about the Holy Spirit through the Old Testament. It was different back in the Old Testament than it is today. We discovered how Jesus, God in the flesh, when he was on this earth, he depended on the Holy Spirit in his ministry. God in the flesh depending on the Holy Spirit, and we depend on the Holy Spirit also. And then last week we talked about Pentecost, right? That remarkable change in world history where the Holy Spirit is now given to each believer. The Holy Spirit is inside of us. It wasn't like that before Pentecost. It wasn't like that in the Old Testament. But that's something that's true for Christians today. When Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said this, the wind blows where it will. You know, you hear the sound of it, you see the effects of the wind, okay? But you can't see the wind. You can't see it. You see the effects of it, right? So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us, moving us. And you can't see the Holy Spirit. You can't nail it down. It's like trying to hang Jell-O on the wall. You know, you can't do that. It just doesn't work that way. Today, we're finishing this series about the Holy Spirit by looking at the Holy Spirit and the mission of believers, the mission of believers, work of God. That's our mission, to do the work of God. And today we're going to be talking very specifically about spiritual gifts and what the Bible says about that. Before we do that, could we all pray together? Let's pray together. God, we are grateful that you know us better than we know ourselves. You know the gifts you've given us, the abilities, the capacities, the interests. You know all of that. And in your sovereign plan, for reasons that are known to you, you use Christians to effect your will in this world. That you call us not only friends, but you call us partners in grace. And we are thankful for that. And so today I pray that you'd give us open hearts, open minds, that we would understand what the scriptures say, and that we would lean into the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives in a remarkable way. We pray all this through Jesus. Amen. Now, the first thing I want to do is to talk about the Holy Spirit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit from the standpoint of a definition. What are we talking about when we talk about gifts of the Holy Spirit? The first place I'd go is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and I have this in the Amplified Bible. It's kind of like a cross between a translation and a commentary all in one. And this is what it says. But to each one, to each Christian, is given the manifestation of the Spirit, that is, the Spirit illumination and enabling, okay, for the common good. A spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit for the common good. Okay? God uses Christians to do his work in this world. You know, in John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you want to do anything, you have to abide in him. Because if you don't abide in Christ, you can actually do zero. You can do nothing of spiritual influence in this world. It all comes because we're connected to the vine, because we're connected to God. A little bit later in that same chapter, verse 11, it says this, It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to give us gifts. All of the spiritual gifts that we read about in the Bible belong to Him. He grants those to Christians to use for the common good. He grants spiritual gifts so that we can help each other in the body of Christ. You might have noticed that the Holy Spirit, as you think about the gifts, the Holy Spirit or the spiritual gifts are not there to confirm our faith necessarily. They're not there to make us feel better. They're there to empower us to do the work of God. It's a very specific thing. You can't create a spiritual gift. You can't choose which gifts God gives you. Those are all the work of the Holy Spirit. It is only by His grace that He saves us, and it's by His grace that He gives us gifts that we can serve Him in this world. I would add this, though. People find great joy when they realize God is using them and using the gifts that He has given them. They find great joy in that because they realize that God is working through them. The second thing I talk about today is where to look in the Bible for spiritual gifts. There are four principal passages. There's other places too. But you can look in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14. Verse 13, or chapter 13 is the love chapter, kind of sandwiched between spiritual gifts. I find that kind of interesting. 1 Peter chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 4. Those are four places in the Bible where you can go and you can look at lists and you can look at how spiritual gifts are described in the Bible. Now, if you do that, you'll find that the gifts overlap, okay? And you'll probably come to the same conclusion I have that the gifts are not that are listed there, that are not, it's not an exhaustive list, okay? I would say this, God can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, using whoever He wants, okay? Yeah, He can do whatever He wants. He is not limited by our theology. He is not limited by the way we translate the Greek words into English. He's not limited by any of that. God can do whatever He wants. The second general statement I would make is this. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside each Christian and He has granted spiritual gifts to every Christian, we're in partnership with God as we use the gifts that He has given us to do His work. Every Christian in the room. One odd thing I noticed when I was looking at the gifts, and that's this. You've probably heard somebody say, well, that person has the gift of evangelism. They are so clear the way they explain the gospel, and people hear them talk about the gospel, and they want to ask Jesus to forgive their sin. But, you know, evangelism is not one of the listed gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? There is the role of the evangelist in the church, a leader who equips the saints for the work of the ministry. But evangelism itself isn't a gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I would say this. Evangelism is the role of every Christian in the body of Christ. It's not just those who have this special. Sometimes Christians feel compelled to talk about that because of what God is doing inside them. They have to talk about it. You don't have to wait for a gift to do that. That's something every Christian does. It's almost as natural as breathing, you know, just living out what God has done. Now, I have taken spiritual gift inventory tests in the back. Has anybody else ever done that? Taken a list? Okay. Now, I think they have some value in terms of listing the gifts to have you think about those. But I think, generally speaking, almost all of us who are Christians, you probably kind of know how you're wired. You kind of know how God has set you up for ministry. And so, therefore, I don't put that much emphasis on those. I think they're good as a starting point, maybe. This is the truth. We are chosen by God. We are called by God. We are equipped by God. We are gifted by God to do His work, every single Christian that is alive. I would say it this way. There are exactly zero bleacher seats in the kingdom of God. Okay? This is not a spectator sport. Okay? All Christians are on the field. It's kind of like Jesus and the coach is the coach, and he's putting you into the game. Okay? There's no place to watch from outside as everybody else does the work. This is us, the church, coming together to do what God has called us to do. And the reality is this. You've talked to any athlete, okay? No one wants to be on the sideline. They want to be in the game, right? And that's the way the Christian life is. God has gifted us to be in the game doing the work of God. Now, the third thing I want to talk about today is to unpack with you Romans chapter 12, what Paul says about spiritual gifts there in Romans chapter 12. Now, to do that, I want to back up just a couple verses to get the context from the very end of Romans chapter 11. And this is what he says. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give him advice? And who has given him so much that he needs to pay it back? For everything comes from him, exists by his power, and is intended for his glory. All glory to him forevermore. Amen. The very starting point for us to understand spiritual gifts is to understand that they are grounded in what God has done for us. He has done everything for us. That's the starting point to understanding spiritual gifts. You know, when you read through the first 11 chapters of Romans, you hear about sin and grace and forgiveness and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All those topics, it's like this wonderful theological treatise of everything God has done for us. And it all ends this starting point for us to understand spiritual gifts. And it naturally flows into using our gifts. When a person turns from their sin and they turn to God. You know, we call that repentance, right? They turn to God in belief. They confess their sins. Well, the Holy Spirit takes residence in the life of the Christian, okay? And they are set up from the moment they become believers to use their gifts for God's glory. Sometimes you hear people seeking gifts kind of to point attention to themselves. Have you ever seen that happen? You know, I'm a great teacher, or I'm a this, or I'm a that, or whatever. Okay, well, that's diametrically opposed to the heart of God. Spiritual gifts are given to help others, not to shine the light on ourselves. Sometimes people think of spiritual gifts thinking, if only I had that gift, then I'd be sure of my salvation. They think of that, okay? Or to demonstrate to me that my faith is real. And if you're thinking that way, you might have missed the thought that salvation comes from God and the Holy Spirit is in us. You don't need some experience to justify the reality of faith. Christians can grieve the Holy Spirit by kind of excluding him from their lives. Christians can quench the Holy Spirit by pouring cold water on his influence. They can do that. Or Christians can choose to lean into the influence of the Holy Spirit, you know, to give their lives to God and let him change them by the power of the Scriptures. He can change our hearts and our minds. Christians owe everything to God because of what he has done for us. And we bring glory to God when we use the gifts he has given us for the purposes he's called us to. All of that is what we see in the first part of Romans there. A clear view of God leads us to a life of sacrifice. It leads us to a new heart, a new life. Everything changes as we get a clear view of who God is. It changes us. So let's pick up now in Romans chapter 12 at the first verse. This is what Paul the Apostle says. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Paul is suggesting that we give ourselves to God in response to all that he has done for us. That's his point. He is suggesting that we give our entire selves to God as living sacrifices, because this is what's acceptable to God. And he suggests here that this is what worship is all about. Worship is us giving ourselves to what God has called us to do. That's what worship is about. People sometimes ask, how can I know God's will for my life? Well, according to this verse, it's perfect and pleasing. It's good. It's turning from ourselves and turning from God in belief. That's what worship is. That's the core. It's repentance and turning to God and allow Him to impact and change our lives. Worship is not the musical warm-up to the teaching. You know, music is part of worship, okay? But worship extends to virtually every corner of our lives as Christians. And we worship God best when we give ourselves, using the gifts He has given us, for the work that He's given us to do. That's how we worship God best. Transformation in our lives comes when we change our thoughts. We move from what we had been thinking, okay, and in belief, we move into what God is showing us through His Word. You know how you find God's will for your life? Get close to God, you know? That's how you do that. As we know God more and more through the pages of Scripture, the insight that we gain from the Scripture changes us. It changes our hearts. It changes our minds. And then with the equipping that He's given us, He's given us skills. He's given us insights. He's given us capacities of all kinds. And He grants spiritual gifts for us to use to do His will. That's how a Christian lives. We start to know what God wants from us when we get to know God very intimately. As we dial into His Word and we understand the heart of God, we see the goodness of God that's been poured out on us. It changes us, and it changes how we live. The important perspective that I see in what Paul writes here is that His will for our lives is best found when we lean into what we know is true, not by waiting, not necessarily even by praying, but by leaning into what we know is true and using the gifts that He has given us. Verse 3, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give to each of you this warning. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is in Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. God asks us to be humble in our assessment of the gifts and the abilities He has given us. It's interesting to me, as you look at this passage in Romans, but also the other passages, that every Christian has been given gifts, and every one of those gifts is needed in the body of Christ. There's all kinds of different gifts, right? Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul tries to do humor. He's not really a funny guy. Okay, he's like me trying to do humor. It just doesn't really work for him, but he tries anyway. Okay, and he asks this question. If the whole body was an ear, how would it see? That's a good question, right? You need eyes and you need ears. What if the whole body was a foot? You could run, but you really couldn't work a wrench very well. You know, I've done plumbing, you know, under the sink, upside down. I've worked on cars. You know, never have I ever thought that holding a screwdriver in my toes was a good idea. You know? You need hands, you need feet, you need every part of the body of Christ to do the work. And He has equipped people with different gifts. And in humility, we're not jealous of the gifts given to other people. We use the gifts that God has given us. Every single part of the body of Christ is necessary. There are gifts that I don't have. My wife will attest to that. And then there are other gifts that that I do have, you know, that I use. And we need all of those. We're all on the same team with the same mission in mind. In the next verses, beginning of verse 6, Paul is now going to go super practical with us. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, that is to proclaim what God has said, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Really, really practical advice for Christians to use their gifts. People thing going on, who's more important than the next guy. That was going on in the church at Corinth. What Paul is saying here is, use the gift that God has given you, whatever they are, the gifts, typically. I think the gifts are easy to understand. I think we can read them and kind of figure out where we fit pretty easily. But I think the real message of Paul here is not to have like an intellectual discussion about gifts, an academic thing. I think what his real point is to get after it. You know, get after it. This is getting busy with what we know God has called us to do. It's overcoming inertia. You know, a body at rest tends to stay at rest. It's getting going. It's getting up. It's doing something with what God has given you. Whether it's prophecy, serving, encouraging, giving, leading, showing kindness. God needs all of those gifts in his church. Has anybody here ever heard Francis Chan talk about the discussion he had with his daughter about cleaning her room? Anybody heard that? It's a funny story, okay? So Francis says to his daughter, please go clean your room, right? And the daughter comes back and says, hey, Dad, I memorized what you said. You said, go clean your room. I can say it in Greek, Dad. I studied up. Then the daughter says, how about if I call a bunch of friends over, and can we have a discussion, and we consider what it might look like if I actually clean my room? You know, and it seems like bizarre when you think about it, right, that a child would do that. You know, the father wants her to clean the room. I think it's the same way with spiritual gifts. God is asking us to use the gifts for the good of the church. That's what he's talking about. It's a funny video, but we're all called to do something, and it is an act of worship when we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and do what he's called us to do. That's what he's called us to. I don't think we need a big theological discussion on what the gifts are. I think what we need to do is kind of figure out where we're wired and use our gifts. It's easy for us to try a ministry and see how that works. And if that doesn't work, to try something else. That's the easiest way to figure out our gifts. When we find what we love, truly love, and we find that God is blessing us as we use our gifts, we have probably found what it is God has called us to do just by practically using the gifts that God has given us. It's so profound, and yet it's so simple. What Paul is inviting us to do is to do what God has called us to do. Step into it, whatever that gift is. Peter, chapter 12, in 1 Peter chapter 4, I'd like to just read this for you because it's so clear. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as if God himself is speaking through you. And when you're speaking scripture, you are. He is speaking through you. Do you have the strength and the energy? Do you have the gift of helping others? Well, do it with all the strength and the energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Peter could have talked about lots of different spiritual gifts. And he could have had a big theological and, you know, discussion and about this gift and that gift and how to discern. He could have talked about all of that, right? But what does he talk about instead? Speaking truth and helping others. I think probably everybody in this room can relate to one of those things. Speaking truth and helping others. We know from Peter, we know from Paul, we know from others that there are a great variety of spiritual gifts. We can't really list those. We just have a few of those listed in Scripture. And the message is to lean into what God is calling you to do. I'd like to give you a couple examples of people that I know who leaned into the spiritual gifts they had in what I would say is just a remarkable way. One of the people is a gal I know who is an aide in a rehab facility. okay, an aide in a rehab facility. Her job is to come in after the doctors and the nurses come in for their 5 minutes and do their thing, and she has roughly 35 or 40 minutes with a patient at that time. She's spending 35 or 40 minutes concerted effort with a person probably it's experiencing one of the worst times in their life. They're there because they've had an accident, they got a chronic illness, something bad has happened if you're in a rehab facility, right? And she has undistracted time to spend with these people. She talks to patients to start. She starts with how this circumstance is affecting their lives. And she looks for an open avenue to see if she can minister to these people spiritually. Sometimes they're evaluating their life. Sometimes they're asking about questions about God because of the circumstances that they're facing. She has been trained to deal with their physical needs. But she also, I think, is Holy Spirit. And so why these people are there in this rehab facility, she's looking for opportunities for real conversations about things that matter in life. Not just getting them better physically, but talking about their soul, you know. Sometimes she says people are open, and sometimes they're not. And she just goes with what happens. Sometimes they're Christians, and sometimes they're looking for hope. They're not believers. But she knows she has 8 patients a day, and she's got 35 minutes undivided time with a person who's in a desperate circumstance. Wow. You know, I used to think that an aide in a care facility was a kind of a lowly position. And I changed my mind completely. You know, this is a person who serves others in such a remarkable way. I actually think this today. I think that serving other people is actually a gateway gift that allows other gifts to be demonstrated. It's a starting point. You care for somebody else in a remarkable way, and all of a sudden, you can talk to them about their spiritual health because God is using the gifts he's given you, starting with caring for a person. When I think about her gifts, you know, she's dispensing faith, she's dispensing healing, she's helping other people, she's encouraging, she's serving, she's doing acts of mercy. Sometimes it's teaching. There's all kinds of different gifts, and depending on the circumstances, you know, God supplies what she needs to help people as she does her job as an aide in a rehab facility. That's a remarkable story. When I talk to her, it brings tears to my eyes just to hear what her heart is for the people that she cares for. God enables her to meet the spiritual needs of people, sometimes not. Sometimes people are grumpy and angry and don't want to talk, but other times she leads people to faith. I also know a couple in our church. I was talking recently with them. They volunteer in Lighthouse Kids Ministry, okay? And these are patient and kind people. They've raised their family, and they're now helping to raise the kids at the church, right? They are the kind of people that easily make a connection with other people, right? And so these kids come in, okay? And again, this personal connection, I think it's a gateway gift. This connection that they're able to establish with kids allows them to use all the other gifts that God has given them to help kids in their faith journey, right? I think they're teachers. I think they have great discernment about what's going on in the lives of these kids. Think about how different it could be for a child at Bluffton Community to hear the gospel and come to faith when they're a child. And they got their whole life ahead of them to walk with God. Not to get through all the troubles of life and come to faith some later day, but to come to faith and be protected by God and live as his child from the time they're very young. The coolest thing about the story of this couple is they get to see each week God working through them. That's a crazy thing, right? That God partners with us to help others. It's really crazy when I think about it, but between Bluffton Community, Lighthouse Community in Findlay, and then Living Hope on the other side of town, we actually have about 250 kids in our churches on a Sunday morning. Think about that. God is literally bringing the mission field to us. He's calling us to take care of these kids. The best way to figure out kids' ministry is to volunteer on a Sunday. You'll know pretty quick if it's for you or not. You know, we have easy on-ramps and we have easy off-ramps into service because the intent is not to guilt somebody into doing something. The intent is to get people to serve where God has called them to serve, because that's where the real fulfillment is and that's where the joy comes from. I often talk about the intersection between the eternal, living Word of God and the Spirit of Truth, and how the intersection between the Scriptures and the Spirit of God, we see God's character, and that's a process that leads us to genuine heart change. I talk about that a lot. But you know, the more I've thought about spiritual gifts in the last couple years, the more I would add to that mix that using the gifts God has given us, is actually a remarkable way for us to grow as Christians. When we use our gifts, it changes us. It's a way that we worship it. It's a good thing to do. I saw this in a really remarkable way on short-term missions trips. I remember the first time I went on a trip was to Haiti, and then back to Haiti, and then to Cuba and to Colombia lots of times. And in those trips, I found myself doing things that I would never have envisioned doing before. I generally camp out on leadership and teaching kind of stuff, but what I found was a great compassion for lost people that I didn't know I had. You know, you see people who are really far from God and living in the... I also found the capacity to help people within the churches. When we would go down there, we would partner with churches for evangelism. And I found the ability to actually teach and to lead in the process of doing evangelism on the street. My favorite story is a young woman who was a new believer, and we were in the street, and there were two brothers there, and we were sharing the gospel. She had never shared the gospel before in her life. And we're talking about how you share the gospel and what things you might say and all these different things. And I got to watch as she led these two brothers to faith, you know, see that happen. and I would tell you this, in those experiences, when you see God using you, the sense of God's presence in your life becomes overwhelming. You know he's there, you know. People don't doubt God and doubt their salvation when they're being used by God to do his will. When you use your spiritual gifts, you get to be part of something that's way outside of yourself. You get to be part of a supernatural reality. You get to be part of God using you to change the life of another person. You can volunteer right here at Bluffton. There's stuff to do. And I would say this, when you volunteer, when you get busy using the gifts God has given you, it's worth it. What you find is great joy as you see God using you to do his will. Today on the back side of the card, I'd like you to pull that out with me if you would. There's a couple items there I'd like to point out to you. The first is saying yes to Jesus, but the second is to please email me the Holy Spirit Meditation Guide. This is something I put together a couple years back, but it's verses about the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures, okay, that you might read and think about, meditate, to give you a clear picture of who the Holy Spirit is from the pages of Scripture. If you mark that box, we'll email that guide to you on Monday. Okay, I think there's 40 verses there, and there's a couple passages, but it's something that will help you as we finish this series on the Holy Spirit to kind of circle the wagons and look at a whole number of passages that point to the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. And the second is interest in serving at Bluffton Community. You might be thinking, you know what, maybe I'm just going to do it. Maybe I'm just going to try something new here at Bluffton Community, and you can put in there what area you might want to think about, and the folks here would take a look at that and contact you about serving opportunities. The last thing I'd point out is prayer requests at the bottom. You know, if you put a prayer request there, we pray for those things. We pray for 100 people asked for that at Lighthouse this week, 100 people thinking about what God says in his word about the Holy Spirit. So those are opportunities for you this morning. The final verse for today comes from Psalm chapter 89, verse 15. It's not on the screen. I'm just going to read it to you. It says this, "Happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence, Lord. Yeah, when we use our gifts, we are worshiping and we are walking in the presence of God. We want to pray for you. This morning, we're going to wrap up with prayer. We'll have prayer leaders in the back. And during the last song, at any time, you can slip from your seat and pray with somebody about anything in your life. There's no reason ever to be embarrassed about wanting to pray, because we all need prayer about something every single day. So as the band plays, this is a time to pray. But first, let me pray for you. God, we pray right now that your Spirit would work within our hearts and our lives. And I pray that you would draw each person here into a spirit of prayer. I pray this through Jesus. Amen.